What are we talking about first?
A Wii review.
Oh, that you introduced it differently. I was like, I don't know what the hell we're talking
just
about.
Just say Wii review. If I, look, if I start talking, you could just say Wii review and you're probably going to be right.
I thought you were demanding the episode topic off me. And I was like, how am I meant to know this?
Well, today's episode topic is Wii review. No. So this Wii review, the subject line is Coolio. It's 5 stars. It says, enjoy everything about the podcast, smiley face. FYI, your episode on Tourette's gave me the added information and confidence to help me reach out for a diagnosis and find out I have Tourette's.
That's magic. Wow.
We're glad that we can have an impact on you. And
the conspiracy theories are going to be that be starting to say that, you know how like autism rates have gone up because autism diagnoses have gone up. How about we're going to make Tourette's diagnosis going to come up, go
Psy
up.
And so the causes Tourette's.
Exactly. That's going to be the conspiracy theory.
I don't disagree with that because the evidence shows that Psyguys has caused more people to be diagnosed with Tourette's than would have been otherwise. Therefore, Psy Guys causes Tourette. Shall we start the show?
Let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to the Psy Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jamp and Luke Cutforth.
Hi.
Well, hello there.
This week, we'll be talking about an accidental invention. And no, it's not Luke.
So guys, what was accidentally invented?
Lots of things.
Apart from Luke.
Lots of things. But so this week, we're going to be talking about microwaves, you know, the little thing that lives in your house that doesn't live, that cooks all your food for you in record time. First off, why don't we ask, how do microwaves work?
They make microwaves.
As like,
you put the food in, you type the time that you want it to go for, and then you hit go. It goes for that time, and then when you open it up and take the food is hot.
So what you're doing is describing what happens with a microwave.
That's how it works. You don't understand. There's nothing deeper. That's how it works. Maybe if I had to make it like those little hamsters on a wheel at the back of the microwave, and then they conduct heat.
Is that what turns the microwave thing around? It's just a hamster.
There's one hamster for the heat, and there's one hamster for the little lazy Susan.
I feel bad for the hamster that's doing the heat, because that hamster is going to have to work, you know?
Yeah.
Overtime in comparison to the one that's just turning this little plate around. I need to be clear. The initial thing you said about putting food into a microwave, using the time and it coming out hot, that is what happens with microwaves.
Thank you.
Hamster thing, nonsense. But no, Luke, you are right. Microwaves heat food, surprisingly enough, by microwaves, obviously. But what are microwaves? Do you guys know?
Waves, and they're micro.
Okay, so they're a form of electromagnetic.
That's true. Is that wrong? That's true. That is correct.
I mean,
my answer was going to be a metal box.
He's talking about the waves now, Jan. Not the box.
Yes, to cook your food, a microwave uses a metal box that you put food in.
It's just microwaves all the way down.
You got there first. So they're a form of electromagnetic radiation electromagnetic waves. Try and mess this one up. Do you guys know what electromagnetic radiation is?
I don't. Does anyone know what electromagnetic wave radiation is?
Does anyone know?
God, Jesus.
No, I mean...
I mean, what is it really?
Why did I even say try and mess this one up? Because of course, of course. Look, do you know what this is? Does anyone know?
Does anyone really know?
What is the true nature of the universe?
Well, I'm getting right to the point, aren't I?
No. Why would you say that? Electromagnetic radiation, in classical physics, it's the flow of energy at the universal speed of light through a free space or through a material medium in the form of electric and magnetic fields that make up electromagnetic waves, such as radio waves, visible light, and gamma rays. Basically, electromagnetic radiation or electromagnetic waves are just photons traveling in waves. That's it. Like, light is an electromagnetic radiation. Microwaves, x-rays,
right.
Ultraviolet light. What is it? Infrared radiation. I'm missing a couple of them, I think. I can't remember which ones I've said. Mm. But all of these are electromagnetic radiation. Now, there's also something along with, you know, the sort of photon traveling. There's also like a perpendicular, electromagnetic sort of field traveling through it there. We'll get to that later on. It's mm-hmm. not super relevant right now. But okay. basically, remember, when you think of electromagnetic waves, just think of what light is, because that's what light is.
It's a little photon boy on a roller coaster going up and down.
Yes, a little photon. Well, a never-ending roller coaster. Well, I can say never-ending. A roller coaster that travels
until it just smacks into a wall.
Yeah.
And then it ends. And you just bounce off it.
Or an electron. So, the electromagnetic spectrum, you've probably heard of in school. I say that. Yeah, you probably have heard of it in school. You will have had to have heard of it in school. So it's all of the electromagnetic radiation according to frequency or wavelength. So, you know, from one end to the other. And I say from one end to the other, but it's basically infinite. So
not from one end
to the other. I guess from the center, there's no center. Just all of it, you know? If you arrange it in the order of wavelength,
yeah.
That's what we call the electromagnetic spectrum. Wavelength or frequency, you can order it, by the way. And I should explain what frequency and wavelength are, shouldn't I?
Yep.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, would that be helpful?
Yes. So,
that'd be good. Well, not for us, but probably for someone.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, not for us.
I mean, no, for us. I know what frequency and wavelength... No. So, the wavelength is very simple. It's the distance between two consecutive peaks of a wave or two consecutive troughs. So if you think of a wave as going, whoo, like a sort of sine wave, if you mm-hmm. can do a sine wave if you're listening, but if you're watching, whoo, whoo, it's the distance between the two peaks. Whoo. That's the wavelength, literally the length of a wave between two peaks or two troughs. Peaks being the top, mm-hmm. the highest most part, and the troughs being the bottommost part.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very simple.
What if they're upside down?
Then it's the peak is the trough and the trough is the peak.
They're
identical.
We're just doing a roly-poly.
That's constantly changing. Thank you, Jem, for bringing an intellectual discussion in. That's very good.
Oh, I was, yeah. And you're bringing in the intellectual discussion as well, Luke. Is that
no,
right?
No, I was actually commending him. I thought that was a brilliant contribution.
So the frequency is the number of waves that form in a given length of time. So you've heard of frequency before. You've probably heard of it in terms of hertz. We use that for sound because sound mm-hmm. also travels in waves. And bear in mind, a lot of different things travel in waves, as in, you know, water, like waves of water are waves.
Yep.
Sound waves are waves. And electromagnetic radiation travels in waves. So the frequency, as I've said, is just the number of waves in a given period of time. Mm-hmm. So as the wavelength goes down, the frequency goes up.
Which is the... If you're talking about sound, it's the pitch.
Yeah.
It's like...
Exactly. Because electromagnetic radiation travels at a set speed in a vacuum, that's the speed of light. For the frequency to increase, the number of waves per second to increase, the basically width or the length of the waves need to decrease. So high frequency means sort of very, very small wavelength mm-hmm. and vice versa. Low frequency means large wavelength.
Yeah.
We got that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so higher frequency waves carry more energy than lower frequency waves. So a longer wavelength means less energy than mm-hmm. a shorter wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These are all important things to remember.
Yes.
Just in general in life. It's very useful to know. So, that's frequency and that's wavelength. You guys have got that, yeah?
Yes.
Now, I mentioned some different types of radiation, of electromagnetic waves, the different sort of parts of the electromagnetic spectrum. Now, I'm going to not look at my notes here, and I'm going to try and list them from memory.
Ooh, here we go.
And actually, before I do that, what I will tell you is the way that I thought of remembering it in school. Okay?
Okay.
So, gay X-Men use vibrators in my rectum. There we go.
You learned that at school?
No, I made it up in school. No one, a teacher.
Could you imagine, like, physics teacher?
A teacher did not teach us that. A teacher taught us something. A teacher taught us something so unmemorable that I could not remember it.
Kids, we've got but a simple acronym for you to remember.
Yes, gay X-Men use vibrators in my rectum. Now, gay X-Men use vibrators in my rectum. I've said that enough times for it to be clipped. So I will move on. So you've got gamma radiation, then X-rays. Mm-hmm. And then ultraviolet radiation, and then visible light,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got infrared radiation.
Yeah.
Then you've got my rectum.
Rectum radiation.
Microwaves, and then radio waves.
Yep.
Right.
And so in you've heard of some of these before. You've definitely heard of ultraviolet light. That's the sort of invisible sort of light that comes from the sun and gives you all those nasty sunburns.
Yes.
You've heard of X-rays. Those are what they use for sort of imaging your bones.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've spoken about those before. And, you know, you've heard of visible light because you've seen it.
That's what we see.
That's what you're
seeing.
I've
never heard of that actually, but I do see it.
You've never heard of it. Very good.
Never heard of it.
Very good. Okay. So, and infrared is basically how, you know, infrared cameras are how we measure heat. So you've heard of all these things before, surely. And in order from most energy to least energy, we've got gamma rays going all the way down to radio waves. And radio waves are literally what we use to transmit radio. So, you know, you've heard of all these before. And it's not as complex as it might sound. When you hear electromagnetic spectrum, just think all of the different kinds of light that we use, because these are all different kinds of light. And the different energies sort of give them different properties. If you think about it, as invisible light, it doesn't really hurt you very much. You can see it, you know, that's what it's for. It's fairly, not harmful.
Innocuous.
The only word that could come to mind there was innate. And I was like, innate is not the word. Innocuous, that's right. So, yeah, it's fairly innocuous. And then you move up to UV, which, you know, sunburns, not very good. And from UV, you've got X-rays, which are high energy enough to pass right through your sort of flesh. But not bone, which is why we use it for X-ray imaging.
It's bony light.
So, you know, visible light can't pass through, you know, our skin at all. That's why we don't see our insides. Whereas...
That's why we're not jellyfish.
Well, I mean, I say it can't pass through our skin at all. It can a little bit. But it can't pass through, you know, our bodies in the same way that X-rays can, which is why we can't see our insides. And then you've got gamma rays, which give you cancer. So, as in they can. This is the radiation that you hear. When people talk about radiation, gamma rays are the kind of radiation they're usually talking about.
When you think Chernobyl,
yeah,
we're talking about gamma rays.
It's ionizing radiation in that it can, you know, knock electrons and stuff off of your... your atoms. It's very, very strong, very high energy. And then moving all the way down, you know, you've got infrared, which is basically kind of like heat sort of thing. Then you've got, the microwaves and the radio waves. So why don't we talk a little bit about microwaves, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that.
Does that sound like a good idea to you guys? Yeah. So microwaves fall from about 3 gigahertz up to about 30 trillion hertz in their frequency, which is a wavelength of about 10 millimeters to about 100 micrometers or 0.04 inches. So that is, in terms of wavelengths of light, quite large. Because bear in mind, I said from decreasing energy, you've got gamma rays with the most energy down to radio waves with the least energy, which means that gamma waves are going to have very short wavelength, very high frequency, and vice versa for radio waves at the end. So microwaves, I've got a relatively large wavelength and a... relatively sort of low frequency. So microwaves are used for lots of different things, used for high bandwidth communications, apparently, radar as well. That's what radar was. And I suppose still is, I guess we still use radar. And we use it as a heat source for, you know, we use it obviously for microwaves or microwave ovens, as the full name is. And also other sort of more industrial practices. We use microwaves as a heat source. Now, that's microwaves. The waves themselves. We'll talk about kind of how they work in terms of a microwave in a little bit, but why don't we talk about the microwave, as in the microwave oven. Now, I've just realized
the metal box.
Yes. I've just realized how
confusing.
Like, how confusing this is going to be, because they're both called microwaves. So I'll start saying microwave oven when I'm talking about the thing in your house that makes it hotter. And when I'm talking about... The electromagnetic radiation, I'll just say microwaves. I
dropped my microwave on my toe.
Good Lord, this is so frustrating.
Depending on which definition, that could either be very painful or you wouldn't even notice it and it would bounce off your skin.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather not be hit by either, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, you're being hit by microwaves right now, Corey.
Yeah,
ow.
But...
Ow!
So, do you guys know what is inside a microwave? No.
Food.
No.
My dinner.
So inside a microwave, good Lord, I didn't think this episode would be so painful to get through. I thought it'd be, oh, cool, we'll just knock this one out of the park. Cool. Mike Reeves, in and out.
No.
So
in and out with my food. Yum, yum.
Get the same joke recycled 20 times.
Hey, just like my leftovers. It's in and out of the microwave like 20 times.
20 times.
Not safe. Shouldn't do that. Bacteria can still grow. We'll get to that in a bit. So inside a microwave, you've got something called a magnetron, which I think sounds like a very cool villain.
Like a transformer. So it's like Megatron. A bit like Megatron, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it is a bit like
that's where I got that from.
I was thinking like Magneto, you know?
Oh, this is the X-Men.
Yeah, this is like the Robo Magneto. His name is Magnetron. Ooh. Yeah, let's get like, what's his name? The gay old man. Doesn't matter.
To be fair, certainly I reckon McKellen. A microwave probably does have a transformer inside it.
Like, Bumblebee? Like, you know, Optimus Prime, what are you doing in my microwave?
I know exactly what you meant, Luke. But also, I couldn't help but picture a microwave turning into a tiny little transformer. That's where my brain went. So a magnetron. They've got magnetrons inside them. And basically what the magnetron does, it takes electrical energy and puts into a sort of heated filament, which makes a flow of electrons that transmits microwaves into the cooking chamber of an antenna. Bear in mind, electrons can emit photons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, is that right? Of course that's right. Why am I being silly? Electrons can emit photons, so if you excite electrons, what they can do is to you give them energy, mm-hmm. and they'll, if they want to have less energy, what they'll do is they'll just be like, okay, goodbye energy, goodbye, send it out in the form of a photon, and the electron drops to having a slightly lower energy. Because bear in mind, in the whole thing in the universe, things generally want to have a stable sort of energy level. Mm. And sometimes electrons do that by just firing out a little photon.
Bye.
Yeah, that's kind of how magnetrons work. So, it's like kind of like what we've got with a light. A filament is that part in a light bulb that makes the light. You pass an electric current through it, mm-hmm. and it just it's like bam, here's all of this light. And a magnetron is kind of similar in that the heated filament sort of creates microwaves rather than visible light. So, a magnetron is kind of similar to like a sort of a cathode ray electron tube, which is the kind of thing that you might have learned about this in school as well. It's the thing that makes the picture in old TVs. It's what makes those work.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Essentially, what old TVs do is they fire a beam of electrons at a screen, which is cool. We'll not get into that. But a magnetron is kind of similar to that. So the magnetron is inside the microwave. Okay. It makes it excites the filament, mm-hmm. so that it emits photons of mm-hmm. Of microwaves, and those microwaves bounce around in the chamber and they cook the food through radiation heating. Basically, they just excite the molecules within an object, and what that means is basically if a photon like hits something, it's absorbed by something.
Yeah.
That sort of little bundle of energy can be absorbed by whatever it hits, and it can excite it, make it shake, give it more energy, which is like more heat, which heats something up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
So basically, the way that microwaves tend to work, I say microwaves tend to work. The way that microwaves work is it's kind of interesting because so normal ovens work by just making basically a hot room. You've got a tiny little hot room that makes thing hot.
Little sauna.
Yeah, by having like hot air, and that heats things from basically the outside in. And people say that microwaves heat things from the inside out, but that's not necessarily true. How microwaves work is I've forgotten I'm supposed to be saying microwave oven. Do you know what? Look. If I forget to say
people
microwave,
are gonna be so confused now.
If I forget to say microwave and microwave oven, just use your powers of deduction to figure out which one I'm talking about, because it's probably gonna be somewhat obvious. So that's how microwave ovens work. By firing microwaves at something, and those microwaves basically excites water, sugars, and fats within the food. So microwaves can only travel so far. Like I said, they're not very high energy. And what we know already from slightly earlier in this is that things with lower energy can't penetrate quite as much, which is why invisible light can't really pass through us very well. I mean, we kind of can. You know, if you hold your thumb up to a light.
You can put your torch behind your thumb and see the light come through.
Exactly. You can see it. So your skin is kind of translucent. Is the word. So light can kind of get through it, but it doesn't just pass through it super easily. And microwaves can travel kind of far into an object to heat it up, but not too far, which means that you know, you want things to be in a microwave to be kind of evenly and of an even thickness. Otherwise, you've got some parts that are burnt and some parts that are stone cold.
Yeah.
And that's why that can happen, by the way, because you're not heating things evenly, like in an oven, really. You're heating things just by firing things, that, like firing microwaves that make them hot. Like, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, essentially, what happens is the microwaves are absorbed by... absorbed by, you know, the food or the water, fats, and sugars in the food, and that makes them move, gives them the shakes, which is heat, which we want for our food. And the really interesting thing is that they're not absorbed by things like plastics, glass, or ceramics usually. Most plastics they're not absorbed by. And obviously, as we know, metal can reflect microwaves, which is why you don't ever want to put metal in a mic, just don't do it.
Yes.
Don't put metal. I'll get more exactly.
It goes sparky and electrical and explodes.
Yeah. Okay, right. So I'll get more into why you shouldn't put metal in a microwave later, but just know now, first off, do not put metal in a microwave because
it's
a bad idea. As we said, microwaves bounce around inside the microwave chamber and cook the object. And, you know, metal reflects it, and plastic, glass, and ceramics tend to not absorb microwaves. And microwaves ovens work by basically causing molecules that have that are polar or two opposing poles to spin quite quickly. And that's the thing. Water, you might not know this, water is polar, which is why when you've got a glass of water that's filled very much like entirely to the top, you've got this thing called kind of like a meniscus. There's a sort of lip where you can fill the water more than the glass can take.
Because
the sort of surface tension of the water
holds it all together.
That's due to water being polar, which means it really kind of likes to stick to itself. Essentially, it's got a little bit of a sort of force holding itself together. Polar molecules like water, I should probably say the reason that water is polar is because you've got it's H2O. You've got an oxygen molecule in the middle and a two hydrogens sort of like this. So it's kind of like, if you're listening, just Google it, but it's kind of like almost an arrowhead formation. And if you're watching, it's like kind of like you've got an oxygen here and then two hydrogens there. So like there and there and there and there. And that's the thing. So water is polar because you've got one side of it has got two hydrogens on it, which means it's just a little bit more, one side is a little bit more negative than the other side.
Yeah.
So
when you say polar, you mean like a tiny little magnet, right?
Oh, polar like a magnet. Sorry. Yes, that's something that I need to explain. I forgot. Sorry. Yeah, polar like the poles of a magnet, as in one side has a slight positive charge and the other side has a slight negative charge.
Tiny bar magnet that you can drink.
No.
I mean, that is accurate. That is correct, technically. What a lovely glass of pole magnets I'm having this morning. Refreshing.
Put it on my cereal.
So... basically, molecules like water are polar, they want to align with magnetic field they're subjected to, which you'll see in magnets as well, which is how compasses work. Compasses work by the little compass dial aligning itself with the Earth's magnetic field and pointing north. So it's the same principle here. And so I told you this already, actually. You might not remember. It was slightly earlier. Slightly earlier in the reception.
My memory cells are going.
Very good. No.
I remember last week.
That's too much of a callback. So, actually, when you've got a photon traveling as sort of electromagnetic radiation, perpendicular to that, you've got a sort of oscillating electromagnetic fields. And perpendicular means kind of like at a right angle to, essentially.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, so across. They're traveling in the same direction, but one of them is kind of basically lying flat. Well, one of them's horizontal while the other's vertical, if you think about it that way.
Yeah.
And so there is an oscillating sort of magnetic field along with this. And that oscillating magnetic field causes the sort of polar molecules, like water, to spin or try and like move back and forth to be like, oh yeah, okay, I want to be this way. Oh no, it's that way now. Oh, it's this way, it's that way, it's this way, it's that way. And then that causes it to like, it's like shaking, it's heating up.
Yeah.
So that is how it heats up water. A microwave oven heats up water using microwaves. But if you were to put a piece of plastic or glass or ceramic in a microwave, it wouldn't feel hot at all.
Right.
It wouldn't really feel hot at all because the molecules of those sort of those things are not being excited by the microwaves.
Ah.
Yes, Luke.
That's so interesting. I thought, maybe I was taught differently in school, or maybe I just don't remember it properly, but I always thought that microwaves were absorbed by water molecules and that caused them to heat up.
See, that's, that's what I thought as well. But this sort of dipole thing, it makes sense. And also it's what I've read, it's what I read in more than one place. So cool. I think there probably could be some absorption, but bear in mind, because microwaves are low energy in comparison to sort of light as well, you know, they're lower energy than light. So I don't know. I think it makes sense that it's the primary sort of heating in a microwave oven is this kind of heating.
It's probably just the what I was taught was like the basic version of the point that they were trying to get across there is that the way that a microwave heats is that it heats the water and by extent, and then as you're going to get into fat and other things in the food, it doesn't heat the entire thing. It heats the water and then the water heats everything else.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's likely that the photons are also absorbed. But I think the main contributor to the heat is the oscillation.
Fascinating.
Mm. Yeah. So this is the thing. Wow, that's really cool. And then that's the thing. Otherwise, think about it. If it was going to be absorbed, then why does the air in the microwave not get hotter? Because air isn't polar. So the air, the air molecules aren't heating up. That's why.
That's a good point. Because when you like heat your food up and stick your hand in, it's not like a hot sauna.
Yeah.
It's just when you touch the
water.
Touch
does the water in the air heat up at all? I'm guessing it does, but there's just not much water in the air.
Yeah, probably not much. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's how that works. And bear in mind, the wavelengths of that's insane, because I think you probably have to have something that's this is just conjecture based on what I've read. Mm-hmm. This is not something that is coming straight from science. I'm just saying it probably makes sense that you'd probably need something slightly more altogether. Mm-hmm. Because bear in mind, you could put an ant in a microwave, and because of the wavelength of the microwaves, an ant can be totally fine in a microwave. Because the wavelength of the microwave could be longer, larger than the ant itself.
Yeah.
Which is cool, right?
That's so cute.
If you think about that, because I remember, I'll just go back to the wavelength of microwaves there, from 10 millimeters to 100 micrometers.
So much longer than an ant sometimes. Unless you had a 10 millimeter ant, which they probably do exist.
10 millimeters or 1 centimeter.
Yeah, so not all ants are safe in microwaves. If you have a 1 centimeter ant, he might die.
We're talking about the air itself not being directly heated. And that's the thing. The air doesn't get heated, whereas it does in a normal oven. And a lot of the ways that we think of cooking are, a lot of it is to do with, like, you know, the way that normal ovens work. Mm-hmm. Because, or the way that even frying pans work, by heating the outside until it heats the inside. And microwave ovens do this as well, but they don't heat up the air. So that's why you don't necessarily get something nice and crispy, a nice crispy crust, if you're putting it in the microwave, because you don't have the air heating up the outsides to give it a nice, a nice crust. So that's actually why in microwaves, if you want something to be crispy or a particular like, sort of crust form on something, usually they'll have like a tiny little metal sheet that you have on it. You know, like kind of like little reflective bits.
Oh yeah, some people like you can put foil around it or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you get, I think the Chicago
not Town in the microwave, but
no, the Chicago Town pizzas, I think.
Oh really?
Yeah, Chicago Town pizzas. I think they've got a little in microwaves. If you put a little sort of metal thing, because it reflects the microwaves, it can heat it up more and make it a little crispy.
Disclaimer: don't
try this.
Try and construct one for yourself. Just if there's one with your packaging and it says not to remove it, that's fine. But don't put foil around your food and put it in the microwave.
Please
don't.
Leave it to the professionals.
We need to say this. Don't ever put metal in the microwave. Don't do it. If you think, it's might be scary. Fine. And the side guys, the side guy said don't. Just don't do it.
It will not be your excuse.
We don't condone that. So when you put metal in a microwave, no, I'm joking. Yeah, so that's the thing. Again, what to take away from this is the fact that microwaves, ovens, they use microwaves to heat up water, fat, and sort of sugar molecules within the food. And they do that when those molecules are polar. Because it's a little magnetic field that makes it go, this way, that way, this way, that way, this way, that way. And that's what hot is. That's what hot is. That's what heat is. So metal. I've got a whole section here on metal. And as we said, metal reflects microwaves. And metal is very good at reflecting microwave radiation. And actually, there is metal in your microwave already.
Yeah.
There's a lot of metal in your microwave already. Because the issue with... We'll get into why what the issue is. But the issue with microwaves is we don't necessarily want the microwaves leaking out. So you might have noticed that there's not a clear window into your microwave. You can't just look right into it, right?
No.
Yeah, it's always like tinted, isn't it?
It will give you brain damage.
No. Don't say that.
Would it not?
I mean, it could. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't say
I've just always heard that you shouldn't put your face next to a microwave because it was bad for your brain.
That feels like one of those things that your parents are like, don't make faces because it'll get caught in the wind. But okay. No, I'll explain why in a bit because I do have some things about the safety of microwaves, by the way, in a bit. So
cool.
So the reason that you can't actually see through the microwave window is because there is a metal mesh on it, which is to reflect the microwaves back in. And all of the insides of your microwave, as you'll probably have noticed, are metal, which keep all the microwaves, like, you know,
contained.
Bounce around inside.
Yeah.
Basically, light, the sort of visible light that we've got, has got small different wavelengths to fit through the little mesh holes, the little sort of mesh in the window. But microwaves, as we said, large wavelength. The wavelength is maybe just a little too big to fit through those, that sort of mesh, so it gets reflected back in. So let's talk about why microwaves sort of mess up metals. Do you guys maybe know why microwaves and metal don't necessarily mix? Microwave ovens and metals don't mix.
Is it something to do with that thing we learned in A-level physics about the photoelectric effect?
Explain what you mean, and I may say yes or no.
So, well, bloody hell, this is years ago. Something about high energy radiation or like radiation hitting the surface of something and causing, I think, an electron to be released from an orbital. And then it goes back down and releases a flash of light. Something like that.
Oh, okay. Why don't we first talk about what happens when you put metal in a microwave? Have you ever seen what happens when you put metal in a microwave? Can you describe the visual?
Those are like sparky and...
Sparky.
Magical.
Okay, yes. That's the key point here. Sparks.
Yeah.
Magical.
No.
That's the key point.
Magical. It is magic. Straight out of Harry Potter.
Right.
No, so, it's like tiny little electrical...
Sparks.
Lightning bolts, yeah.
Yeah. So, you as I'm describing this, you might be able to figure out what's going on. So metals are generally sort of a lattice arrangement, which basically just means all of the metal sort of molecules are connected to other metal molecules in sort of like even sort of shape.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, you guys know what a lattice is?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a pattern.
Yeah. A sort of like
okay.
A sort of even, yeah. an even pattern, an even structure. And basically what it is like every sort of like metal sort of atom is connected to other metal atoms in a very even structure.
Oh, it's quite like a neat. Yeah. Tessellating fashion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the electrons aren't... So in most other sort of molecules, with non-metals, generally the electrons are shared or they stay in sort of general... They generally stay in the same sort of point. But with the metals, they're in sort of lattice structure and the electrons can kind of freely move throughout the lattice, which is why metals are very good at conducting electricity because they don't have electrons like set in set positions. The electrons are kind of able to be like, well, I'm going to, you know, scoot over to that side of the metal for now because, I don't know, I just feel like a more positive vibe over there. sorry, that was a... I'm quite proud of that one. So this sort of lattice arrangement with the sort of almost free moving electrons means that if you apply microwave radiation to a metal, with this oscillating magnetic field, what you can do, yeah? So what can happen is, obviously we've said this, you know, electrons, like, you know, want to move to, like, it'll basically move the electrons around in the metal. So you've got a very negative part of the metal and a very positive part of the metal.
Oh.
And what happens when we've got a charge difference, like a really strong charge difference between two different things, you get a spark because you want to alleviate that sort of, basically you want to alleviate that difference of charge and get the positive and negative to sort of equalize.
Even out,
yeah. So essentially putting a metal in the microwave can cause all the electrons to move around. It's like, okay, this is a negative part, this is a positive part, and boom, spark. And that's why you see all the sparks. So essentially that is the issue. And the worst part about this is that if it's really thin, like say tin foil, which is actually aluminium, so it's not tin, but if you piece of sort of kitchen foil, which is very, very thin, this sort of these electrons moving back and forth can make it heat up a lot. If you think about it, wires heat up a lot, you know, if you've got electricity passing through them. And this is like electricity just passing through this one really thin sheet of metal, so it can get really, really hot, and it can start to burn your microwave. It can just sort of burn up. And basically, and as I was saying, the sparks get caused by like sort of a really strong negative charge in one area and a really strong positive charge in another area. And that happens when there are sort of dead ends or sort of sudden bends in the metal. Basically, because the electrons meet up with other electrons and have really strong negative charge in those areas. And then, like, you know, so you've got those basically negative spots sitting near air, causing a spark. And that ionizes air molecules, which is what happens with lightning. And it basically just heats up the microwave, and it can cause it to explode. Like, you basically get like a tiny little sort of lightning storm inside of your microwave. If you think about it that way.
Yeah.
Don't know, that sounds really cool. Don't do it.
No, it's not cool.
It's not cool. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. Like, as in, not even for a joke kind of thing. I cannot describe enough how dangerous it is.
It's too high risk.
Metal in a microwave. Yes. So yeah, like you just do not want to put metal in a microwave because metal basically can reflect microwaves, but also because of the structure of metals, it can cause them to heat up or spark or just, you know, destroy the microwave in general. And so this is the thing. Like I said, metal in a microwave under controlled conditions can be okay, which is why you get the kind of almost reflective things on, say, those Chicago Town deep dish pizzas or whatever. Some companies will say, oh, this food is better if this bit is crispy, so there's a slight sort of metal part to this. So that's why they do that, because it's incredibly controlled and it's been tested many, 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 many times. But you being like, oh, it'd be cool to just see what happens if I chuck some foil in my microwave.
I'll just fool myself, put my phone in there.
Yeah, you're going to burn your house down. That's what's going to happen. So, you know, don't do that. But that's why it's dangerous to have metal in a microwave. So those are microwaves. That's how microwaves work. Microwave ovens work, you know. So why don't we actually get to how the microwave was invented? Do you guys want to get to that, maybe?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, shall I?
It's one of those things where I've never thought about the fact that it was invented at some point.
Right?
It's like a fridge. Who the hell invented the fridge? We use it like every day.
Mr. Fridge.
Yes.
Mr. Fridge.
Obviously.
And Mr. Microwave.
Yeah. It's really odd that they extended out refrigerator from Mr. Fridge, you know? I actually think that is one of those things where I think it was originally called fridge and then it was extended to refrigerator. Don't quote me on that. There are things like that where you've got a shortened thing that people sometimes extend out. I think lunch to luncheon is one. I can't remember. There was a whole argument on QI about it, but it's not the point. So how was the microwave invented? There was a man named Percy Spencer. So he was born on the 19th of July, 1894, and died September 8th, 1970. So he's born in Maine, in the US. Maine is a state, by the way.
Yeah.
For anyone listening that doesn't know. Yeah. He was born in Maine in the US. He was orphaned at a young age, and he left school. He didn't graduate from the grammar school that he went to. And he sort of left school and he went to work, I think in the Navy or in the Air Force. I can't see where I've written it. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But he ended up actually being on the board of directors at Raytheon, which was a fairly large company.
Sounds like an electronics company. Is it an electronics company?
It is an electronics company.
Raytheon.
And he had over 150 patents during his career. Now, a patent, we've spoken about what a patent is before. Basically, it's a sort of an agreement between, you know, everyone that this is my idea.
Yep.
And no one else is allowed to use it until the patent runs out in, like, you know, 4 years, and then everyone's allowed to use it.
Yeah.
But this is exactly how it works.
Or you pay me lots of money.
You could pay me lots of money to use my idea until the patent runs out, at which point everyone is able to use my idea. I'll tell you what he did. He sort of revolutionized magnetrons, or the production of magnetrons. So in the early 1940s, magnetrons were being made, they could be made at a rate of about 17 a day, mm-hmm. Which isn't really that quickly. It's not very quick, you know, and we needed them for radar, for the radar technology, for the war. I say we, they, the US.
Not us.
And yeah, they were being made at 17, sort of a rate of 17 a day. And he came up with a new way of making them that was simpler, that was essentially just kind of, essentially just using a ring of, a solid ring instead of like what they were using beforehand, that you could just kind of stamp down to make a big sort of long tube. And it made the process much quicker. It doesn't really matter exactly how, but effectively what this did was mean that they could produce 2,600 magnetrons per day.
Ooh. Bit of an increase.
Just a little touch of an increase, yeah. So he knew magnetrons. He was very good with them. So he figured out how to mass produce magnetrons, which was really great. Radar was one of the things that really helped them win the war, along with, you know, dropping two nuclear bombs on countless innocent civilians.
Jesus.
That's one thing you could make radar to win the war. Historians
disagree over whether it was the invention of the magnetron or the dropping of two big nuclear bombs on Japanese civilians. Up for debate.
Which one was the one that made the Japanese surrender? Was it perhaps just killing their people for no reason? No,
it was the invention of microwaves. Yes. Heated food on the go.
He said, if you don't stop this war, I won't let you eat your Chicago town pizza. And they did step down.
Bear in mind, these magnetrons were being used for radar technology, because as I said before, microwaves are used in radar technology. So that's what the magnetrons were being used for during the war. And he was in the Navy, as I said. He received the highest civilian honor from the Navy. Though he wasn't in the Navy then. He received the highest civilian honor from the Navy, which was the Distinguished Public Service Award. So basically he was also studying. He was using radio. He was using radio waves. He was studying, not radio waves, microwaves. He was using microwaves and studying sort of magnetrons, continuing work on that. And one day he had a peanut butter candy bar in his pocket. And it began to melt. And this sort of next section is going to be, it's taken from an article that I read, but this is sort of an interview with his grandson. So they say, my grandfather was watching a microwave testing rig and he realized that a peanut cluster bar in his pocket had started to melt. It got quite warm. And so he put two and two together and he decided to get some popcorn. He sent the popcorn in and it started popping all over the place. The next morning he brought in an egg. One of the engineers, who was a little disbelieving in terms of a microwave's ability to cook, just as he was looking over it, the egg blew up in his face. Yeah. So the microwaves that he was working with, as in the microwave radiation that he was working with, melted a candy bar in his pocket, a chocolate bar in his pocket. And he was like, okay, some popcorn. That popped. Great. Let's just bring in an egg, which it just popped.
Exploded. Yeah.
Don't put eggs in the microwave, I suppose.
No.
The first patent for the microwave was patented on a very important date, in 1945, October 8th, which is my birthday. But I wasn't
born. Oh.
Yeah, so I have the same birthday as the microwave. No,
a few years earlier.
Yeah, well.
Which one is higher up on famousbirthdays.com? Is it you or the microwave?
I am the 25th most famous person with my birthday on Famous Birthdays.
Why did you start that sentence like Donald Trump?
I am
the 25th most famous person.
No, I'm the 25th most famous web star from Scotland. Never mind.
I
don't know why I remember that. But
and the microwave is the 26th most famous web star from Scotland.
Which is really weird because it's neither from Scotland nor a web star. But
no,
that's Famous Birthdays for you. Anyway, so he had basically figured out that microwaves cook food. They do that.
Wow.
Which is great because, you know, it's much quicker than what we initially had. Well, yeah.
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 I could have.
You probably could have, yeah.
Yeah.
You probably could have told Einstein E equals MC squared as well.
I probably could have,
You wouldn't have known what it meant, but you could have told him. Hey, Albert, bro. E equals MC squared.
Hey, come here. E equals MC squared.
And he was like, what's E and what's M and what's C?
You figure that out, my friend.
That's figure that out for yourself, Albert.
That's for me to know and for you to find out, Albert.
Bear in mind, he was working for Raytheon at the time, so his patent was under Raytheon. And he didn't actually really own any of those things. So he patented it, as I said. And they made it. They made the radar range, and they launched it. I think about 1947, and it was the first sort of commercial microwave oven. It was about $5,000 at the time, which, in current money, is about $52,000. I say current money. In 2015 money, it's $52,000. So it's considerably more than that now.
How large was this microwave?
Oh. It was 750 pounds and about 6 feet tall.
So it was for commercial use. It wasn't for the home.
No, that's what I said. It was the first commercial microwave oven. It was for restaurants to use, I suppose.
Yes,
microwave from
yes.
people.
No.
It's tall enough.
Well, there is a scene in the film where the microwave person,
yeah.
and they explode. Yeah,
yeah.
Don't do that. Don't put metal in the microwave or yourself.
Don't put metal or man in the microwave. As I said, the Radar Range was the first commercial microwave, and the issue was that. It didn't take off because it was very expensive, and as per the public were scared of it because it's like, oh no, it's radiation, my food. I'm from the 40s.
They tried to microchip us.
I can't remember whether this was for the microwave, but there was some kind of home appliance where the invention of it was like generally met with resistance from. It was like a labor saving appliance, and obviously we're talking about history here in which like. Pretty much all the women were expected to sort of run the home, especially in Britain and in many other countries. And there was some kind of labor-saving appliance where basically, I remember now. It was the invention of the home, so the ready-made cake mix. Now, this is relevant, I promise. So when cake mix was brought out, there was like a large amount of resistance because supposedly, again, maybe I've read some information that was sort of slightly skewed or was biased here, but basically the suggestion was that women didn't feel like they were doing like their like homemaking duty if it was too easy. And so the inventors of this cake mix made it so that you had to add your own egg. And then suddenly there was loads of sales of it because people could be like, oh, well, I did add the egg, so I made the cake. I just find that fascinating. And I wonder if, things like the microwave or things like, I don't know, a washing machine were met with the same kind of resistance because people had this feeling like they wouldn't be doing their duty or something.
And I think they were just scared of the microwave radiation.
Yeah. Which they're not scared of in cake mix.
No. Well, depends who's making the cake mix. But no, to be fair, with cake mix, that does make sense because all of the dry ingredients are boring. Cracking the eggs, when you crack an egg, you feel like a chef, you know?
Skill.
Oh, this is the thing. Here's the thing. Come in close.
Okay.
Just everyone, just come in close. Okay. You don't need eggs for baking at all.
No, you really don't.
All eggs what? Serve to do is bind things together. You can use other things to bind things.
Like avocados.
You can use flax seeds mixed with water. Use cornstarch. You can use almost anything that isn't an egg because eggs don't offer any flavor for cakes. They just bind ingredients together.
The flip?
It just frustrates me when people don't know people don't know the chemistry of their cooking. And as soon as you do, you realize how pointless many things are. Like you don't need to have eggs. You don't need to have
milk. The pharma lobby is coming for you.
They bloody will. And honestly, it's been winding me up, those farmers. They've been on my back this whole time. I'm joking, farmers. I like you.
No, when I went vegan, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to give up cakes and stuff now because I've got eggs in and there's no other way to make cakes.
Yeah, because no one teaches you the science of how to make a cake. It's not taught. But we're not talking about the science of making cakes. We're talking about the science of microwave ovens. So the microwave was about the size of a fridge.
Wow.
A big fridge and a big heavy fridge at that, except it was the exact opposite of a fridge in that it made things hot. So
the anti-fridge.
Antifra. and it was a big commercial failure, and that was obviously not very good for them, but it was eventually shrunken down to be, you know, smaller, the size that we're more sort of familiar with today. And the sales started to overtake the sales of gas ovens. So microwave ovens overtook gas ovens by 1975. And Tapan was a sort of company that made electrical appliances. It made the first microwave oven for home use in 1955. And, you know, these were really big, about the size of a stove, and about $1,000. Those also failed. And then I think it was, I think Raytheon basically bought a refrigeration company. And then 2 years, I think 2 years later, made the sort of countertop version, which was under $500, just under $500. Mm. If you think about it now, microwaves now are what? More than 50 quid, 50 quid.
Yeah.
You want a decent. I think you can get if you want a good microwave, like a good looking microwave, like you can probably get one for like 80. Quid. I think.
Yeah, about
good
that.
Microwave for 80.
Yeah.
You get a cheap microwave, like whatever, it'll do the job for like 40. I think.
Probably less than that. Probably like 25-30.
Yeah, and if you take into account the fact that $500 way back in 1965, I think would have been easily, I say easily, well over a few grand now.
Yeah.
And now it's down to like 50 quid-ish. The price has come way, way down. And yeah, it was about that point. People started shortening it from microwave oven just to microwave, which is great. I just love that. It's like, it's not the microwave oven. That's too long. It's just a microwave. Not even the micro. It's just a microwave, which is a very sort of scientific word that is. It's like x-rays, you know? Like I've just gone for an x-ray. I love that these sort of scientific words just kind of, they're public words.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means. Got no idea what it means. No idea that x-rays and microwaves are technically the same thing, just with different wavelengths and energy. But it's, you know, it's cool. So, a lot of, not everywhere has like sort of taken up the microwave. Apparently, in India, less than 5% of the population owned a microwave, or even own a microwave now. I'm not actually sure when this is taken from. But yeah, it's not taken off everywhere.
Mm.
I think mostly in sort of UK, US, Australia, those kind of areas. So Spencer, the guy that made it, Percy Spencer, died in 1970, as I said, and he didn't make more for his microwave than the $2 bonus that he was given for the patent. And that was a standard thing. The company gave you a $2 bonus for a patent. Bear in mind, $2 was, I think $5,000 was $50,000 now?
Yeah, it's about like factor of 10.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not awful for getting a patent.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, it's a little nice little bonus there. But bear in mind that he did, you know, move up to become eventually the head of the company, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he got an honorary doctorate from the University of Massachusetts. Raytheon named a building in his honor. Raytheon was the company, bear in mind. A lot of people ended up respecting him. And I think he didn't die a poor man. It's not like he was completely screwed over for his invention. But he wasn't actually paid directly for the invention of the microwave, which is what happens when you work for a company. Any ideas that you have are the company's ideas and you don't own
them. No longer your ideas.
Genuinely, which is why be careful when you're signing contracts because... That's kind of the story of how he invented the microwave.
It's really cool,
I think. But we've got a little bit more because people are obviously kind of worried about microwaves, aren't they? We've spoken about that a little bit before, I think.
Yes. A little bit.
Yeah.
Less so now.
Yeah.
So, wow. I mean, 5G is microwave radiation.
Mm. Oh, I see.
They just changed the name.
Yeah.
So it's just the new version.
So I've got the question. And you guys might be able to answer this for me.
Okay.
And if not, I have the answer written in front of me, so it doesn't really matter. is microwaving food bad for you?
No.
Well, okay. This is the thing.
In some cases, it's better.
Yeah, so this is the thing. People say, microwaving food destroys all the nutrients, or it's bad for you because it's radiation. Bear in mind, it's not ionizing radiation.
Mm.
So that's like saying, looking at a light, like a light bulb is bad for you because it's radiation. Yeah.
Just don't use a gamma wave oven.
But so is light.
Exactly. Light is also, like it's all radiation. So, yeah, just because someone says something is radiation, it doesn't mean that it's inherently bad or dangerous. You should be careful. But, the nutritional value, one of the worst ways to cook food is the way that British people do it, which is boiling it. Because do you know what happens when you, I'm not joking, do you know what happens when you boil food? When you boil
all
this
of the goodness all comes the out in the water.
Yeah, all the nutrients get sucked out.
Nutrients get drawn out into the water, and you've got a, and that's why broths are great, because, you know, if you've got a broth, you all the water that's sucked out all the nutrients from your food, your vegetables and your beef, it's all just sitting in the broth. So you can drink the broth and you're fine. But if you're boiling, say, your carrots or your broccoli and then pouring out the water, then you're doing a pretty poor job of getting all the nutrients. Whereas if you were to put it in a microwave and just heat it up directly, a lot of the nutrients stay in there. Or if you were to steam it in a microwave, that's better than boiling it in some ways. You can actually hold more nutrients if you cook something in a microwave. And if you want to know if microwaves are generally bad for your health, they're not really too bad. You know, they don't ionize anything, like I said, so they can't make anything sort of radioactive or dangerous in that sense. And it just doesn't have the energy to break the chemical bonds in your DNA. So it can't really affect your DNA. It's not going to do anything like that. I think there is just not really any evidence to support that a microwave oven is terrifically dangerous for you. I did find one study, I think. I found a study that was like talking about sort of pregnant mice and how I think there was some effect on pregnant mice, but that was in mice. And the recommendation was just be cautious. If you're a pregnant woman, maybe just be cautious. Or a pregnant person, maybe just be cautious around microwaves. That was all. Yeah. But if your microwave isn't broken, then it should be fine, because there aren't really going to be many microwaves leaking out from the microwave.
Yeah.
On top of that, there are some health risks with microwaves, though, in terms of plastics. So you want to be careful about what you put in your microwave, because plastic isn't necessarily, some plastics aren't designed for microwaves. Some of them aren't microwave safe, which means they could sort of leach out sort of plastics into your food. And there are these things called phthalates. Phthalates. You want to, both of you guys trying to say that?
Phthalates.
Yes. So basically, they're used to make things. They're used to make plastics more flexible. They could be in takeaway containers, plastic wraps, and water bottles. And apparently, they've been found to disrupt hormones and our metabolic system. And also, apparently, they can increase the risk of blood pressure and insulin resistance. And which can increase the risk of obviously diabetes and hypertension. And exposure to them has been linked to fertility issues, asthma, and ADHD. Now, this all sounds very bad, and it isn't great, but the way around that is just to use ceramic or glass in the microwave rather than plastics. And bear in mind, this is the thing. Are phthalates dangerous? Is the question you probably want to have answered right now. And the thing is, it can increase risks. It can increase the risk of cardiovascular disease or infertility. But they are associated with a decrease in male reproductive health. But there's not a lot of data to support the link between phthalates and hypertension, hypertension in pregnancy, atherosclerosis, and arrhythmias. So basically what the CDC has said is that human health effects from exposure to low level of phthalates are unknown. Some types of phthalates have affected the reproductive systems of laboratory animals. More research is needed to assess the human health effects and of exposure to phthalates. And that was in 2017. So basically, it could affect sort of epigenetics and hormones, but more study is needed. So I wouldn't be sitting here being like, oh no, there's plastic in a microwave. We're all going to die. We're looking into it, and we've determined that we need to study it more. We can't for sure say it is unsafe or it is entirely safe. Bear in mind that you can find phthalates in other things like, I think sort of facial scrubs and things like that. You can find them in more places than just the plastics that, you know, you can cook your food in. But bear in mind, if you're really worried about this, you can still use a microwave, just use ceramic or glass containers instead of a plastic one. And that could be just a plate.
Yeah.
So if you usually want to be lazy and just, you know, heat it in the tub, the plastic Tupperware that you stored it in, put it on a plate and you'll probably be fine. And that's microwaves.
Super easy.
Yeah, microwaves. They're generally a fairly good way to cook food. Generally pretty safe. And so long as you keep plastic out of them, there's not a huge sort of risk to your health. Invented by accident by a man named Percy Spencer in the 19-somethings.
What a brilliant accident.
I was looking for the date. 1940s, that was it. But yeah, that is the microwave.
Very good.
You guys feel like you know more about the little kitchen appliance that...
I feel more enthusiastic to go cook in the microwave now. Yeah, might buy a microwave cookbook.
I would not really call it cooking. You can make mug cakes in a microwave. To bring it back to what Luke was talking about with the cakes, boom.
I feel like potentially the reason why people were so like... Even today, people feel so like scared of microwaves. Firstly, we don't necessarily understand and we can't see them. Mm-hmm. So we maybe just don't quite get it, like, and that's sort of scary to us. But also just that because it's so easy, it feels like there must be a downside. Whereas I've learned that, for example, things like looking it up and stuff in the past, like things like cooking vegetables in the microwave sometimes retains more of the nutrients than any other type of cooking, because not only are you not leaching it out via the water, you're also exposing it to heat for the shortest possible amount of time. Because you microwave it for like a few minutes rather than like 10 minutes, say. It's really interesting.
The one thing to note is that you can have quite extreme heats in a microwave, which can affect it. So you're absolutely right. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. And ultimately, they're fairly safe. When I say fairly safe, bear in mind, I can't 100% definitively say microwaves are absolutely safe and no one will ever be harmed by a microwave. But they're fairly safe. You're going to be fine, you know, using your microwave. And you're going to be fine, you know, probably taking that vaccine that we were speaking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do find that people are scared of things that they don't understand. And that is probably one thing that scientists should be getting better at.
Yeah.
Which is explaining what it is that they're talking about. Because you can't just, like, I'm guilty of it a lot. Like, even earlier on today when I was talking about, what was the word that I used? Polar. Even, like, through sort of explanations like that, where my whole job right now is to explain things to you guys in a way that is easy to understand. Sometimes it's very easy for the people that have studied science to forget what they need to explain and what they don't need to explain.
Mm-hmm.
And scientists, I find, often just think, oh, it doesn't really matter. But I think the public understanding of science is one of the most important things. In the world, really.
Yeah.
Because if they don't understand it, it can cause fear and panic and chaos. So do better at explaining things, scientists, I think.
Thank you. Please, scientists.
Before we finish up the show, though, there are some a couple different uses for microwaves that I saw that I thought was quite interesting. One of them was cleaning dentures. There was a study on it. They said that you still have to clean the person's mouth, so it's probably better just to not use a microwave to clean dentures.
In the microwave.
No.
Yeah, they disinfect, don't they, microwaves?
Yeah, they do. Wow. And speaking of that, they disinfect spices as well. You can disinfect dry spices by just knocking them with a microwave.
Wow.
Melting chocolate.
Kill any fungus, isn't that? Yeah.
Good use of a microwave.
Yeah, that's some of the uses for a microwave. But that is the show. Before we finish, though, I do want to let you guys know that we still have some calendars left. Just a few.
Oh, a couple, yeah.
Just a few. Like, very little. And you can get them right now at the link that is in the description. And if you want to get a sneaky little discount on those calendars, a sneaky little 10% discount on those Sci Guys calendars that are exclusive, one of a kind, limited edition calendars, you can go to patreon.com/SciGuys, where if you sign up for being a patron, you can get a 10% discount. Isn't that nice?
That is so lovely.
It's very lovely.
Yeah.
So nice of us. A little round of applause for us for doing that. Yeah, there we go.
Helping people track the days.
I'm not going to applaud us.
Where would you be without us?
Well, Luke, I was applauding you, so it's very rude. No, but if you want to track every single day of next year, I say every single day, I really hope I included them all. I feel like I missed one out. No, it's not a leap year.
It's not a leap year.
Okay, good.
This year was the leap year.
So if you want to track every single day of next year and have us be there with you, you can do that with our new calendars. 10% discount if you're a patron, don't forget that. But that is the show. You guys want to say anything else? Ding.
Bing.
that is all. Thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys or find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and now TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. I am not Corey everywhere.
I'm Champion everywhere.
I'm Luke Cupforth everywhere.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.